How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, he is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled?
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now here is Brother Chad Johnson with today's message.
It's good to be back with you this week. We left off last week in the book of 1 John chapter 1 and verse 4. We saw in the opening verses there that the word of life talked about here is Christ, and that life was manifested and made known to John and the other apostles, and they heard and they saw this life. They handled him. They touched him. They were right there in contact, close contact with him, that Christ gave eternal life. He was an eternal God, and that's the only kind of life that comes in Christ is eternal, eternal, eternal life. So we made it to verse 4, and he said, and these things, he's talking about the eternal life, that the Word was made manifest, the Word of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we can have fellowship with Him. And our fellowship is with God the Father and with His Son. And he said, and these things, that's what he's talking about, what he's written so far. He said, and these things write we unto you. Why? That your joy may be full. Oh, I tell you what. We need a full joy today. So many Christians don't have joy like they ought to. Now, a lot of people say happiness, and I know what they mean, but happiness has to do with your happenings, your circumstances. But joy is a peace and a rejoicing that is down in your soul, no matter what's going on around. I tell you, the only thing we really have joy about, if you want to get it down to the nitty-gritty where the rubber meets the road, is that our life is in Christ, and that no matter what comes our way, neither height nor depth nor principalities nor persecutions nor anything can separate the redeemed from the love of Christ. There is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ. That is the basis of our joy, that Christ has done a work of grace in our hearts. If you're saved, he's done that for you, and that no matter what goes on, he said, I write these things that your joy may be full, because it does not matter what happens to this flesh cannot affect that position in justification through the blood of Christ. Understanding and coming into full fellowship with God opens a whole new thing of joy. John thus wrote to that end, clearly implied that as we walk in fellowship with our Lord, he imparts into us the fullness of joy. If you're not reading your Bible, not faithful to church, and feeding on the Word of God and prayer, and being spiritually minded and consuming spiritual things through the eye gate and the ear gate and through the different means that God has given us to enjoy his blessings, then you're not going to have that joy. David lamented on losing that joy in Psalm 51:12. I tell you what takes our joy as a Christian, as a child of God: sin. Sin will steal our joy, and the things of God will not, because why? That fellowship is not there. That you may also have fellowship with us. John wasn't talking about just fellowshipping with him, the apostles, and as far as let's just sit around and talk about the weather, talk about your job, talk about this or that. No, that fellowship that he wanted them to have, and truly our fellowship is with the Father. That's spiritual fellowship, being able to fellowship on the eternal things and not the temporal, that our joy may be full. Verse 5, we continue on here. Verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him. This is the message which we have heard of him, which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and him is no darkness at all. There's a metaphor being used here. As we know from English class, a metaphor is a non-literal use of words. It's saying something that's not literal, but it's used to give emphasis to what's being said, to try to make the point. to establish in the strong language of a metaphor is very good at times to help make points to help us understand them. And he said, God is light. Now, God's not literally light, though he created light in the physical world. But when we think of light, we think of warmth, comfort. We think of, a lot of times, people get scared at night. Little children especially are scared of the dark, and some grown people too. You hear bumps in the night and things in the house when it's real quiet. You just don't hear in the daytime. But when that sun comes up and you can look out and see that what you thought you heard, there's nothing there. It's just, there's nothing there that was trying to get you. I'll tell you, there's comfort in the light. And God is compared to light because there's, nothing really bad to say about light. And him is no darkness at all. See, sin is in the Bible's compared to darkness. Hell's called outer darkness, where the judgment of God, it's a fire that's never quenched, but there's outer darkness. But in him is no darkness, no sin at all. God is the source of all light, both spiritual as well as physical. He's not only the creator of light, but he is light himself. Through the Bible, light typifies truth, righteousness, and holiness. In contrast to the darkness, the metaphor used there to describe sin. The greater point is that God is light with all that implies, and that there is no sin, evil, or wrong in him. He that knew no sin was made sin. He became a curse that he might redeem us from the curse of the law. See, curse, the curse is talking about sin. In the book of the Revelation, it says there's a time coming when there'll be no more curse. No more curse. That curse is sin. Where it said Christ might redeem us from the curse of the law. That's not saying that a lot of people think, well, the law is sin. The curse of the law is not sin. Paul said it's righteous and holy. But basically what the law did, it pronounced our guilt. It pronounced that we were sinners under the curse. You see the law of God? The Bible says, if any man continueth not in all things, he's guilty of it all. The law is our schoolmaster. The law is the mirror, the Word of God. We look into it and it shows back the reflection of a man who's not saved, or after we're saved, what we need to do to restore that fellowship with God. In him is no darkness at all. There's no sin. See, the law was not a curse, but it showed us that we were cursed. Showed us our need of Christ. It just showed forth and manifested that we were truly a cursed people. That's what the law does, or did, and will do for you if you're not saved. If you'll look at yourself in the mirror of the law of the Word. Now, verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him, talking about God, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. It's talking about believers here. And you can say, oh, I'm fellowshipping with God. That doesn't mean that you're not saved, but there's a difference in being saved and fellowshipping. You can't be fellowshipping on the Word and on prayer and on godliness and holy things and then be fellowshipping in darkness all the time too. Because he said that we lie and do not the truth. If you say you have fellowship with him, but with your mouth, but with your life, that's just like a man could say, oh yeah, me and my wife get along good and I treat her good and our marriage is great, and then he goes home and beats her to death about half the time and treats her awful and no good to her. Yeah, you can claim you have good fellowship, but if you're walking in darkness, see, your walk and your talk ought to line up. But you can talk it all you want. With their mouth they profess they know God, but in their works, what? They deny him, being abominable. John thus touches upon this spiritual concept here. There is no communion between light and darkness. When sin is present in our lives, it is not possible to have fellowship with God. If you think about it, light and darkness cannot coexist together. It's either light outside or it's dark outside. Now I know as the sun goes down, and it's Saturday evening here on the 31st day of December, on New Year's Eve, and I'm looking out my study window and it's getting dark, but it's still light. But see, when the sun goes down completely and it's dark, see, the sun cannot be up. Long as there's, basically, it's not dark yet. It's darker than it was, but they can't coincide together. It's either daylight or it's dark. And you're either fellowshipping with the light, the Word of God, and God, or you're fellowshipping with Satan and darkness and the things of the world. It's one or the other. It should be pointed out that John is developing the principle of our fellowship with God and not our relationship to Him. See, a lot of people will misquote these scriptures about falling from grace, but we've already seen that that life was eternal, that it's an eternal life. That was established there. Fellowship and salvation or relationship are two different things. You will always have a relationship with God once you're saved, but that fellowship can come and go depending on our obedience to the Word of God. That's that practical sanctification. We're told to put off the former things. Put off, put off, put off. And put on, put on, put on. Have the fruits of the Spirit. See, we need to put off things and put on things also. He said, if we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. You're not, see, the truth is the Word of God. And you're not doing the truth if you're walking in darkness. Our time is coming gone this week. We'll pick up next week in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-7918, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.